You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And we... combined? Man, I fucking boned it already.
I'm Whoa!
When our powers combine, we form. No, we're just rolling through.
Oh my god.
Our we're powers so combined, we form Experience Grind Podcast.
Did you get worse on purpose?
Now, yeah.
Okay.
I'm faking it. The podcast where? Better or worse? Apparently. Good or bad? This is really bad.
This is bad, yeah.
We're going to grind it out. And tell you our experiences on everything that we go through.
Did you guys just pick me up coughing into the microphone?
I hope so. That's the...
just the cherry on the top.
God, that was... All right, so just grateful that I don't think any intro can ever get worse than that.
No, don't say that.
I can.
I'm sure you could. But personally, for me, striving for my excellence, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the second bottle of Andre we're on. I'm jumping around here, too.
You're jumping around?
You're still not off
you
that downward slide,
out
by the way.
The illusion that this is shot separately, you're just...
I could drink two bottles before we start recording, but I'm not.
Role model.
Because I'm in the same bright pink t-shirt, and you're in the same... purple Hawkeye shirt.
I mean, in all honesty, I wear a Hawkeye t-shirt every week.
I mean, Hawkeye's great because I like the color purple.
I do too. That's why I got it.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie?
Color Purple?
Oh.
Isn't that the one with Oprah in it?
Yeah, that movie's awful. I hate that movie.
I've never actually seen it.
We had to watch it in school for some fucking reason and it was stupid. Fucking god awful. Are we going to just talk about the color purple and
sister slavery? I think this is a great way to start this episode if you're going to come out right and say, like, the color purple is a stupid movie, because it's going to lend a lot of credence to my viewpoint on the movie we are talking about today, which is
10 Cloverfield Lane. The sequel.
That's a segue, motherfuckers.
It's not a sequel. It's a blood relative of the Cloverfield movie.
It's an offshoot. It's like the Twilight Zone. It's just a whole separate story.
Which I like that they're going for that. I think this movie falls really short of the holy thing. But that's okay. You can do that with experimental movies.
We will talk about that more later.
Yeah. So we've talked about what the episode is about. It's going to be about 10 Cloverfield Lane.
You're still on that downward slide.
We're going down.
I don't know what happened. There was no gradual decline. No. Like, you were doing fine, and then you just dropped through the fucking
floor. Because we're talking about this movie, man, and I didn't fucking like it at all.
Held my composure when we talked about Batman versus Superman for 2 hours, and that was a literal piece of garbage.
That was like a month ago, right?
Yeah, that was a month ago. That was a full month ago.
It wasn't just 10 minutes
We're also... We're joined a month later by our good friend of the show, Nathan, as always. He's our most reliable guest host.
That's quite the compliment.
We've had two others.
Most reliable. Yeah. He's very punctual, at least. Yeah.
He shows up, so fucking A for that, right? Hey, man, you're here like when we ask you to be, so fucking bully.
Who else have you had as a guest?
Our buddy Brooks has been on two, and then his wife, Laura, the lovely
on the
Laura.
Last one.
And she's technically in every episode here on out.
She'll be doing the warning.
Because she does our spoiler
warning.
Remember
last month you guys were talking about that.
Yeah, month we totally went all in depth on that. Mm-hmm. We're recording exactly 1 month in advance because I wear my shirts one monthly.
You do a month cycle?
Yeah. So that's how I'm wearing the pink
Just
again.
Like a lady's ovaries monthly.
You know, do not ever compare me to a lady's ovaries again. How dare you?
Why, you don't think that's complimentary?
A lady's ovaries, are they pink? I don't even know. I've never...
Ladies' ovaries make babies. They give life, Kyle. And you don't want to be compared to an ovary?
They're also in the shape of like a demon's bull skull.
Yeah, I don't know anything about women, really, guys. So if you guys could explain this stuff to me.
What is a woman?
I mean, I've seen them.
Was that a Castlevania thing you're going on?
What is a man?
What is a woman?
He was even taking a drink of the wine glass when he said it. He
said,
toss
true.
It
that
across
good.
The room.
You didn't like that part. I love that part.
I thought it was cheesy, but like,
yeah,
I know it.
Cheesy.
Like, it's memorable at
what
least.
What is a woman? A miserable pile of secrets?
Miserable
yes, she
pile
is.
Of
oh,
memories.
And there goes our female demographic.
Oh, they hate us anyways.
All two of you who listen.
I love
Are there
you,
actually
ladies.
Women
You're
that
great.
Listen to this?
There's a couple.
My wife does for sure.
And your mother, who called us out on the last podcast.
Oh, my mother-in-law and my mother's
your actual mother.
Work friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, old women listen to this show too. And I was like, I'm so sorry, old ladies. You are the best.
Are you going to say that? Is that your statement now?
That's the statement. You guys are amazing. Thank you all so much for listening. I love you. I can't wait to talk to you in the very near future, Ryan's mom. We're going to get along great. I just winked and pointed at your mom.
I mean,
I'm surprised
you
guys feel that way because I actually hate all old women.
That was my statement like 3 weeks ago.
I've never met an old lady who wasn't
this is experience,
a fucking idiot. Just the worst kind of people. If there were camps for them, I would be for it.
Sending them there.
Oh! Yeah. I'm just kidding. Ryan, what's your mom's name?
Elderly internment camps.
You don't have to say your name on air.
I'm actually into this idea.
His mom's actually going to be a guest on the show.
It's like Logan's Run.
Dude, by the
way,
what are
you guys going to talk about?
Ryan's mom, we need your list of movies, please. I need those.
Like she's watching right now.
She will be a month later. I'm giving a call out to her. That's my wink.
You're going to talk about her favorite movie?
We're going to do a Mother's Day special coming up.
Spoilers.
When is Mother's Day?
It's in May.
But we're going to talk to Kyle's mom in one episode, talk about her three favorite movies, and we're going to talk to my mom.
She's awful.
She's awful. You are this.
If you're listening to this, you want me to give your mom's name on the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
April. If you're listening to this, where do I even fucking begin with you, April? I've known you for quite a while now. I haven't seen you in a while, but just stop. All right?
This is my favorite episode ever. I love it.
You've done enough. Just quit.
Just stop. Right?
You know what
just
I'm talking about. So I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I'm crying. This God is amazing. So yeah, we're going to have my mom on to talk about her three favorite movies. We're also going to have Ryan's mom on to talk about her three favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to release them on Mother's Day.
Maybe we should just do this episode about your mom's three favorite movies. We'll talk about them.
What's his name?
And why
we don't know what his mom is.
I think we should just do episodes talking about our moms.
Yeah.
Like just and how they should stop.
And how much Nathan hates her. Hates both of our mothers. He's never met yours, but I guarantee he hates her too.
I'm sure.
She's got to be better than April. I mean, I've met her a number of times.
Well, it's crazy. Like, it's insane how much my mother actually loves Nathan. Like, she thinks he's one of the
greatest people
ever.
I haven't seen your mom in a long time. It's been quite a few
years.
She has
nothing but the greatest things to always say about you. And she has no idea the absolute piece of shit that you are.
Well,
the poor woman.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. April's all right, I guess. Now that I've heard that. No, I'm just kidding. I like Kyle's mom. She's
your mom's
great.
Awesome. We talked about your mom, I think, last time because we talked about how many times she's watched the movie Anaconda. Which
I haven't seen her watch that in a while, but she does like really like just shit like movies like that, like sci-fi original type stuff. Mm. Oddly enough, my girlfriend also likes that crap. And
really,
so like you married your mom?
Yeah, I mean,
or you're
we've been
dating.
Yeah.
I'm not you're not married.
I'm not ready to, you know,
he ain't putting no ring on that.
Commit to that just yet, but you know, no, but like it seems like every time I go over to the girlfriend's house, she'll probably listen to this, so whatever. But
hi, Alicia.
Yeah,
I've not met you, Alicia. Unlike Nathan, you know, I bet you're lovely. I don't think the worst of people.
Alicia's pretty awesome. I will say that. I've met her a couple times. And
we saw Tim Heidecker.
She puts up with Nathan on a regular basis.
I don't know. She's seen my horrific body.
I know that she's constantly drunk. She's wasted every time she deals with Nathan. I'm sure that helps.
Every time we have sex, it is like blackout drunk. No, not blackout. That'd be kind of fucked up.
I think we just should nip all this in the bud before something incriminating comes out.
Guys, I have a lot of problems.
God, this is like that one episode where you talked about porn for 20 minutes.
That was a good episode, man.
Was it?
No, probably not, because we talked about Mass Effect 2.
Get real for a minute, guys?
Nathan's got issues.
No. Let's just talk
about
something.
You know what grinds my gears?
Guys, I'm going to get raw for a minute here.
Speaking of getting raw.
As raw as Zack Snyder's dick after watching 9/11 tributes.
Damn, dog, nah.
Alicia, if you do listen to this, I didn't mean any of that. I don't remember what I said.
I'm drunk right now.
I'm so fucking...
I remember exactly what both of you said.
I'm so high and drunk right now.
I'm wasted on PCP and cocaine. I don't know anything.
I've been drinking... No. I've been drinking Andre's red stuff here.
This...
For a month at least.
We've not left this recording booth for an entire month.
It's like the movie room. We've just been trapped in here with Andre.
They've sent airdrops like in Lost, but of no food, just Andre champagne.
It's no Dharma initiative. It's the Andre initiative.
Ooh,
that's
yeah.
That's all this is.
So thank you, Andre. You keep us incredibly wasted.
Clink.
So fuck it, man. Let's get into this bitch. We're back here a month later to talk about 10 Cloverfield Lane. Mm-hmm. What we liked about it, what we didn't like. There's going to be a very great division. You and I are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
and Nathan is here as the happy medium. I'm assuming he's not super in the corner, but he's not super hateful either.
The movie I loved until like the last 20 minutes. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, once we get into it. But for people who really had an issue, like one of our most vocal complaints earlier on is that Kyle and I agreed too much. Now we are two in unison.
Boy, if you listen to the last two episodes,
this is the episode where we will
not at all.
Yeah,
and which is great because we're still great friends.
Yeah.
What was the one prior to Batman?
What did we do prior to Batman? We did Resident Evil,
but I think we are both.
And then the Raid 2 as well. And we were both on the board with that.
I think we're always in like the ballpark, just to different degrees. Like I respect Resident Evil.
What's
I like
crazy
it enough, but
to the degree that we have both been disagreeing on this movie, it's unprecedented.
Is very drastic. Yeah. We are on opposite sides of the spectrum.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We got this game that we've done. We introduced Nathan to it. Oh, yeah, we do have a bumper. You've picked this one as well,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, so this is from the soundtrack. It's by Bear McCreary, and I think I actually love this soundtrack, and I've listened to it several times since. It has a great theme to it, very Spielbergian. I kind of love it. So this is the track from the main title suite.
That was from the Cloverfield Lane soundtrack. Who did the soundtrack for it?
Bear McCreary.
Bear McCreary. I've never heard of him. Has he done anything else?
He has. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now, though.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not prepared. Like, really, I've not heard much of Bear McCreary's music enough to even garner a fandom in him. I just really liked what he did with the soundtrack. So, maybe he has. I just don't know.
The name does sound familiar, but I don't know anything off the top of my head.
Mm-mm. So, I mean, we had kind of talked about things that we could discuss before this, but I just kind of want to get into this.
We'll just get into it. That's fine.
Yeah. You guys want to do this synopsis game? Who wants to play?
What do we do again?
It's been a month.
I mean,
it has been a month. I know, Nathan.
I just feel like I need to stress that it's been exactly 1 month since we last. So, it's kind of fuzzy for me here.
I'll go first. What's the matter?
I'm trying to think of the fucking third guy's name.
It's your favorite dude.
I know. It's John something Jr., but my brain went blank.
Thank you, Andre. All right.
Yeah, I know.
God, you think I'm gonna try to do this?
Go for it.
Okay. Go. 10 Cloverfield Lane is a science fiction movie. It's also a thriller and a sort of a mystery movie. The main chunk of the movie takes place in an underground bunker. It's all about survival and figuring out who is who has the best interest at heart, and who you can trust. And then, boom, things from space come down and fuck everything up anyways. It was produced by J.J. Abrams. It's in the same universe as the Cloverfield movie. I don't think it has anything to do with that one. And I didn't like it. So there we go. That's my time. 42 seconds. Not the shortest, also not my best description. I'm not on the point today.
No.
So, and to give counterpoint, I would like you to do it, and then we can throw Nathan on one too.
Sure, we can do that. I'm ready. So, 10 Cloverfield Lane is a spiritual sidequel, not a sequel, not a prequel. It's just a side story in the Cloverfield universe that is now like a Twilight Zone, where a girl gets into an accident, finds herself in a bunker with two other men, and has to decide if they are actually trying to help her, harm her, and then if there is anything actually going on outside, like they say. It is a Hitchcockian thriller, and I don't know. It's directed by Dan Trachtenberg, which was left out, so I mean, I guess that's it.
I think it could have been left out. Time.
I think he added extra seconds. I think I saw you at like 38. You came in under me.
Yes. I mean, that's it. Like, I mean, I didn't throw in the last 20 minutes, but...
Nathan, you want to give this a shot?
Yeah, I suppose. Why not?
All right.
All right, go ahead. All right, so, what was it? 10 Cloverfield Lane is... lady is leaving her boyfriend, gets in a real bad car accident, gets taken back to this weird bunker by John Goodman. He has a name in the movie. He's not playing himself. He's telling her that the world's ended. She doesn't know if to believe him. There's another guy down there, this younger guy whose name I don't remember. They kind of grow and bond over time, but you find out that, well, I won't spoil, but that's basically the gist of it. John Goodman told her that shit's all fucked up and you can't leave. And so they're in the bunker together. The end.
Time.
It was like 41 or something.
Yeah, I think 41 sounds right. All of us were under a minute, which is good. Ryan usually goes over a minute or gets very close to it.
Well, the reason I was able to get it done is because it's a very simple story.
Yeah, there's not really much to
say. It's very simple. It's I think earlier on in this podcast, we've misused the term bottle episode at one point because this is a bottle episode.
I don't know what that means. So
a bottle episode is when a TV series, like you're given 12 to 24 episodes and you have bottle episodes, which are these cheap, very inexpensive episodes where your characters don't do anything. They're just locked in a room.
They take place in the same talk. Area.
So like,
oh, okay.
And I think this is going to paint why I enjoyed this movie so much is in the Twilight Zone, my favorite Twilight Zone. I really like the show. Like, I think it's hit and miss mostly. Like, there's some good episodes and bad episodes. But my favorite Twilight Zone episode is called Five Characters in Search of an Exit, which is five people wake up in different costumes. One's dressed as a clown, one's dressed as a ballerina, one's dressed as a sailor. And they're all in this round room with no exit, and they just have to talk. They have no idea how they got there. They don't even have any idea who they are. And they have to find a way out and just kind of find out what's going on. So this movie is that in movie form. It's that with the Cloverfield twist. And it's kind of why I dig the hell out of it. But if somebody else wants to take over, they can.
Do you have a favorite Twilight Zone episode? Because I know I do.
I guess. I feel like all the ones I'm a big fan of are the ones everybody likes.
Yeah.
You know,
that's one of the ones
I've actually seen pretty much the entire show, I would say.
I've always liked them.
I've never watched them.
Grandma.
I've never watched them like in a row, but...
I did at work one. Yeah.
I mean, they used to do those marathons every year on like, what was it, Memorial Day or 4th of July.
Was it sci-fi that they would put them
on? Yeah. So, you know, I've seen all of them here and there, you know. But, I mean, the one where they shut off the power in the neighborhood and everybody loses their shit and...
That's a pretty good one.
And the one where the lady gets the surgery and her face is actually real pretty.
Beautiful and all the ugly pig people.
Yeah, and they're that's like, oh, this bitch is nasty.
That's one I remember so vividly as a child being kind of like disturbed by that image.
I think my favorite one is the one where the little kid has the psychic powers and he threatens to send people to the cornfield.
They remade that for the movie too.
Yeah, they did. But I always love that old black and white one. That little kid is fucking... just a terrible little shit. It's really greatly done, but I like that one. And people, they do everything they can to not piss him off so that, because he's this all-powerful deity that will ruin their life and kill him. So
I love that one. I think I like the movie version better by Joe Dante.
I like the movie version of the Terror at 30,000 Feet with John Lithgow.
Yeah, I think that's better than the William Shatner one, too.
Yeah, I don't like the William Shatner one. The Gremlin on the Wing is just awful.
Yeah.
But in the movie one, it's really fucking creepy.
Agreed.
Twilight Zone movie is a hard one to watch because of that whole story behind the...
Yeah, the dude dying.
I don't want to get too into it because it's pretty morbid story, but I would get into it, but I don't want the audience to.
Two children died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. But, so, you know, and it's... I mean, it's been a while since I watched that, but as far as I know, that's in the movie. Not the actual act of that happening, but, like, the thing that is it Max, not Max Landis, that's
it's Max von
John Landis.
Yeah, it's John Landis.
He directed
his father.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Max Landis is the screenwriter, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote American Ultra and some other movies.
Yeah.
Spielberg's got a hand in that, too.
Yeah, he did one of them.
It was
yeah.
Spielberg, Joe Dante, Jonathan Landis, and then there was another Jonathan one. I want to say Landis, Frank Darabont. I think it was Frank Darabont.
Isn't Jonathan Landis the Sequest kid?
Yeah. That killed himself?
Yeah. You said John. It's a. Well, now I can't remember what his actual name is.
I think it's John Landis.
Yeah,
I think it's
Jonathan Landis.
Who no, was... that's. Is it Brandis? Jonathan Brandis?
Yeah, Jonathan Landis is the film director.
I was thinking when you said that of the guy.
I'm too deep into Andre to fucking
he was
parse
in
this
that,
out. I don't know.
He was in that movie with.
Perfect time to talk about my favorite movie of the year. So
Rodney Dangerfield's awesome. Ladybugs. One of my favorite films.
Why are we talking about Rodney Dangerfield's
Ladybugs? Because we're talking about the kid that killed
it's
himself.
It's got Jonathan
Landon.
John. What is his fucking name?
Do you know Sound Engineer Andrew? You know who we're talking about, though, right?
You're in the fan club. Tell us. Who is he?
He's in the fan
He's
club.
He's not in any fan club. That's the thing that we love about Sound Engineer Andy.
All right, fuck it, man. Let's get into this 10 Cloverfield Lane.
What movie
Lane
are we
movie.
Talking? 10 Cloverfield Lane, okay.
You like it, so I want you to take lead.
Okay, well, I can maybe see why people don't like this movie. It's a very specific type of movie for a very specific type of person, and I am that person. So it might work for some people, it might not work for some people. For me, it works very well. It does everything I want in this type of movie. It is a very tense thriller, and it does a lot of things very well when it comes to subverting expectations. I went in after the trailer really expecting something, and they do something different. And then in 10 minutes, they do something else different to counter that. And they just keep doing these things where, like, every 15 to 20 minutes, you're getting a different view on it. And the best... We kind of already talked about the plot, so I'll just summarize real quick again, is Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character, Michelle, is, as you said, like, breaking up from her boyfriend, leaving, running away.
Who's voiced by Bradley Cooper, by the way.
Which I didn't know it's awkward.
I didn't know that either.
I'd read that a couple days after we watched it.
Well, that's J.J. Abrams, because he was part of Alias back when, so he's in the J.J. Abrams fan club.
He's in the universe.
Yeah. So she's leaving, she gets into an accident, and winds up in this dude's, survival bunker underground. The dude played by John Goodman, his name's Howard in the movie, and he's kind of religious nutty, kind of untrustworthy, and he says, you know, you can't go outside, there's something bad outside. He's kind of very vague about it. He says something to the effect of, like, it's gas, we don't know if it's terrorists or aliens or whatever, but there's something bad outside. And the whole movie is her trying to figure out, is this guy trustworthy or not? And I think in most movies that are like this, you get one of two outcomes, which is he's crazy or it's real outside. I love in this movie that it does both. Like, John Goodman's unreliable. He's kind of crazy. But there
I'd
is
say he's
also
fully
something.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think he'll
yeah.
be on completely
unhinged. Well, I guess he's kind of crazy until he does, like, that one deed. And then you're like, oh, but he's irredeemable. But that it has the balls to do both of those things. Like, you don't see in movies. Like, it. It said, like, yes, you can have both of these. Like, yes, there is something worse outside, but he is also a villain. Like, he is not good either. So I really admire that. And just overall, I think there are a lot of very smart touches. And I think this script is very, very well written. We can get into the ending, which I think is going to be very contentious for a lot of people. I really like it. There are some things I don't like about it. I have nitpicks with it.
So very similar to me in Superman.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman.
I loved Batman Superman
as much as you did. You've already said this is your movie of the year.
So far, this is my favorite movie I've seen this year.
And I disagree.
It does play
I
to
think
my strengths.
So far, my movie of the year has been The Witch, easily. Yeah. I think that movie is fucking great. It does everything
I think
perfectly.
That's in my tops, like, for sure.
So.
Unless I find, like, more movies as we go on. Like, right now, that'd be in my tops of the year,
too. But contradictorily, this is my least favorite movie I've seen so far this year. Easily.
I could speak to mine more, but I really do want to hear why. Because I love you as a friend, I respect your opinion, and I feel like we do get along so well. Like, I don't understand how you can hate this movie. Like, I understand, like, kind of being in the middle, Nathan. Like, I get that viewpoint. I don't understand how you can hate this movie.
Well, I wasn't really clear on my feelings about it earlier, probably, but I actually really liked this movie up until... And we'll talk about what happens in these last 20 minutes, but that last bit, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The idea of it was fine. But the way they did it, I was just like, well, go ahead, Kyle.
I think the biggest reason I probably don't like this movie is probably my fault. I will say that hands down out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I am a giant fan of the original Cloverfield. I think it does a lot of things fantastic. And knowing that this movie was in the Cloverfield universe, mm-hmm. I knew some things that were, there's something going to happen. And I just felt like the entire movie, I wanted that to happen. And I'm like, what the fuck? Give me what I want, what I know is coming.
What, like a giant monster movie?
Not even just a giant monster, but I knew that there was going to be something otherworldly happening. And it just, I don't know. I was just like, get to that fucking point. I know where we're going with this. I know what's happening. I didn't have an interest in it. And maybe it's my fault, and maybe it's also part of the marketing and that they attach this to the Cloverfield universe. But it comes with a sort of unspoken expectation that isn't achieved until the last 10, 20 minutes. And when it finally gets there, it's, to me, it was so fucking tacked on that, like, I would have liked this movie so much more if it just wasn't even there. If this was just a bunker thriller movie and it was presented to me that way as a smaller indie film, I'd have been way on more board with it than what it eventually became.
I argue you need it thematically. And I think at this point, like, viewers, listeners, whatever, like, you can get a sense of where we all stand on this and judge accordingly. From this point, like, we're going to spoil the show of this movie because we need to talk about that ending. I think you need that. I think you need that last 20 minutes because thematically, like, Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character runs from situations. She doesn't confront anything. So you need this confronting the aliens. You need this alien threat. And that's the big twist is, like, yes, there are aliens outside. They're killing people. They're poisoning them with gas and doing whatever. But you need this threat because you need to have them all fighting, like, the message when she's driving away. Like, so she... This is... All right. It's hard to talk about, but there's nitpicks with the portrayal of the aliens. I don't think they're particularly well-designed.
I think that, too.
And I think some of the shots are a little bit cheesy in action movie. Like, she gets a Molotov cocktail at one point as, like, an alien ship is grabbing her in a car, and she gets out of the window and throws a Molotov cocktail into the alien mouth. It blows up the ship. She falls down and drives off safe. It's a little bit, like, it doesn't belong in this movie, that part specifically. I like that she fights the aliens, and I think you need all that because as she's driving off to leave the situation, her character has, like, this big open dialogue with Emmett's character, another man in the shelter, about how she's flawed as a person, how she just runs from everything. She ran from her boyfriend, and she hears this distress call, which is, you know, we are overwhelmed here. We're looking for anybody who can help. We need nurses. We just need help. And she has the choice to continue driving to the coast where it's potentially safe or go and help fight. And she sits there at the crossroads for a minute, waits, and then decides to go help. So I think you need that thematically because that completes her arc as a character. And that's why, like, even though I have some nitpicks with how the aliens are portrayed, you kind of need it because this movie is so rich in its characters and its themes. And I really think, and I'm glad you said it, that because you were expecting a Cloverfield movie and you didn't get that, because this is not a Cloverfield movie.
Not at all.
This is not even close.
But that's
to what
not
that
my
was.
Only issue with it. But yeah, go
but
ahead.
I do think if it wasn't marketed like this and it was some sleeper hit, you didn't hear about it, you didn't hear anything, and one of your friends was like, "Hey, check this movie out," I think you would have enjoyed it a lot more, and you wouldn't have had such strong negative feelings about it.
Very possibly.
I think that's, like, a big thing. Like, I do feel like with distance, if you come back to this movie in 3 to 4 years, I think you'll enjoy it. You might not love it, and that's fine. Like, I don't expect anybody to love it like I do. But I do think you'd enjoy it.
What about you, Nathan? Because I've got some other things I want to say about the points that he made.
First of all, would you mind filling this glass?
Yeah, absolutely. Keep talking. I'll fill you, bro. All
right. Well, like I said before, and since the endings, we're doing spoilers here.
Yeah.
Last 20 minutes, you know, she escapes the bunker and fights an alien or whatever. Now, I didn't hate the idea of that being what was out there, even though it kind of, I knew there was going to be some big twist because it's a bad robot movie or whatever. That's how, you know, there's always some weird thing about it. And it's always really secretive, so you know something fucked up's going on. And it's already kind of a crazy story to begin with because of the... Well, I guess I should start there because the time, which is like 90% of the movie, if not more, where they're spent, that's spent in the bunker is great. Mm-hmm. Like, I love all three of the characters, or all three of the actors do great jobs. John Goodman in particular is like, though he's like 400 pounds overweight in this movie, he still comes off as like incredibly intimidating. He's so much bigger than the other two people as well, especially her. Like, she, you know, there's no chance she's fighting this guy. So it's like, she's going to have to be clever about this, however, whatever she does. So you know that much.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's one of his best performances of his career.
He's really fucking creepy.
I think he's on another level.
And you know, they do a good job of setting her up as far as like when she's in her apartment, she's, you see her little thumb, thimble.
Thimble.
Yeah. You see that she's into like fashion stuff. Yeah. So it's like, you don't really think about it at that moment, but it pays off. You know what I mean? Even though it's just a little thing.
They set everything up very well in this movie.
And it's like you were saying, where they set things up to be a certain way. But John Goodman's character isn't like this one-dimensional psychopath, even though he clearly is crazy. He's likable at times too, you know? And there's the whole montage in the middle of the movie pretty much where they're all just kind of hanging out and cooking and watching TV and playing board games and shit. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Like, I like that.
Set to I Think We're Alone Now, which... Yeah. The music in this movie always like has these lyrics that fit perfectly for the scenes. It's very Tarantino like.
Yeah, and so I liked everything about the movie, and then like I was really enjoying it up until, okay, you were talking about how she mentions that she's always running away from her problems.
This is my big issue with the movie too.
Well, that part's fine, but
it's so ham-fisted.
The part of that just her escaping that place is enough to finish that arc, I feel. And then you get outside. Now, if I was...
Well, no, she's running away. Like, so if she escapes the bunker, she's still just running away. She's not confronting anything.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, like, you know, she has to confront... I mean, you know, she could have just been content living down there, but... You know, or I don't know.
No, by that point in the movie, like, it's
that's true.
Clear, like, I mean, he shoots at
that's true. I forgot.
And
I'll be honest, we watched this like a while ago, so I'm not like
we're not sharp as fresh on this one as we were with the Batman versus Superman one.
I feel like if it was me making this movie, and not that I'm any kind of movie director or anything, but I probably would have ended it when she gets out of the bunker and it blows up. And they had done it. I knew it was going to be aliens when he said that. I was like, oh, that's what they're doing. It's not going to be just as simple as like a disease or a terrorist attack. It's going to be something crazy.
They give allusions to aliens throughout the movie, too. Emmett mentions that, have you ever heard Howard talk about the worms from Mars?
Right.
Like that.
So it's like, if she'd have walked out of the bunker and she's in her like suit that she makes, and like she looks up and just sees a ship flying by, and then she does that line where she's like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me or whatever, and then just end it there. That would have been such an awesome ending. Like, it wouldn't have really closed the arc or finished the arc, so that would have been a problem. I guess I didn't really think about that as much, but like the whole thing, the fight scene at the end, it turns into like a fucking cartoon at the end, and it's like a super like intense like psychological thriller type thing, and then it just becomes a Marvel movie or something at the end, because she's Batman with her fucking bomb throwing it up, and you know what I mean? It's just, or even, you know what would have been even better now that I think about it? You could have finished her arc, because you could have had her leave and everything seems normal. You know, she gets in a car and just drives off, and she's like, well, I guess he was full of shit. I don't know. But, you know, and then when she gets to, maybe she's driving and she sees one of those ships, doesn't even notice her, you know, and it's just flying over, and she's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then maybe she hears the radio. And she's got the choice there, and she's like, I'm going for it. The fight is what really kind of did it for me. I was just
still think you need that, because you need to see, like, the threat that they do. Like, you need to see, like, the gas coming down, and, like, these weird alien dogs. Like, just what she's up against. Because, like, the ship done, I feel like that would have drawn criticism, too. Like, I don't think...
It would have been a very divisive ending.
I honestly don't think... there's a way to do this movie and make everybody happy.
Definitely not.
Like, there's no way to do it.
It comes into, you know, the ending, and completely contradictory to my feelings on this movie, is the movie Signs by M. Night Shyamalan, where the aliens are weak to water, which a lot of people have a problem with.
I'm okay with that.
These aliens are completely weak to fire, which again, like...
I think it was the ship. It took a Molotov cocktail in the mouth. Like, it's not like it's weak to fire.
Wasn't
like,
it shown that the stuff...
You eat a Molotov...
But their gas is also
like
very...
super flammable. Yeah. I don't remember how they showed that, but it was...
It's because there's a fire burning in the field when it tries to gas her, and it dissipates when it gets caught on fire. It flashes away. So, again, I don't... I don't know, man. It's,
I honestly do not know how you could bring up Signs and say you're okay with that.
It's weird.
But not this, because I think...
The water thing in Signs is, like, the dumbest thing.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with that, but, like...
Like, they come to a planet that's...
In Signs, they've given you hints throughout the entire movie with the little girl leaving, glasses of water out, like... And the fact that it's alluded to earlier, it's not just all of a sudden, oh, hey, remember when this fire burned up, like, 2 seconds ago? You should probably throw a Molotov cocktail at this. Thank God that he stole your whiskey.
But the movie set up that whiskey. Like, so, like, there are setups in this, too. I just don't think you want to see them.
Maybe not. And again, I could be incredibly unfair to this movie. I'm not denying that.
Because of your...
But I'm generally very open-minded to a lot of things, and I found myself a lot in the theater just wanting, like you were in Batman vs. Superman, just, is this fucking over yet? I'm done with this. Like, I think the best person in this movie was Emmett. I didn't even think John Goodman was that great, to be honest. Like,
he was pretty creepy in this movie, I will say.
Yeah,
I was never on edge from him. I was just like, I don't know, man.
I think you were on edge. I think like it's like Norman Bates and Hitchcock. It's this weird unhinged character and his like weird obsession with Mary Elizabeth Winstead's Michelle. Like my favorite scenes in this movie have nothing to do with like the aliens or anything. It's like the subtle sexist overtones by John Goodman, like when they're playing the guessing game, right?
He refuses to call her. Yes. He never even thinks of woman.
And it's pretty woman is the clue, and they're giving him like perfect clues, and he's like pretty girl. Princess, pretty girl, yeah. girl.
That was pretty good.
And then
I like that
when he comes back after he kills Emmett because he's the competition to winning Mary Elizabeth Winstead's heart or whatever, like being with her, like that's his goal, really. He intended for just those two to be alone, and that's why Emmett bashed his way in, like got in there. He wedged himself in between them. When he kills Emmett, he comes back completely clean shaven, like he's going on a date, like he's ready. It's really just like these subtle touches that are like so clever and creepy with him. It's Norman Bates and his mother, like it's that kind of creepy. It's not intimidating or threatening necessarily.
Although
it's
he definitely
predatory
can be.
Almost.
He definitely could be.
Yes,
though.
He could
like,
be.
There were. And you never knew how he was going to take shit. Like, sometimes he actually had kind of a sense of humor about him, even though it was kind of weird. It was like, you can joke around with him. He's not bad. He's just kind of weird. And then, like, the next thing you know, Emmett just cracks some stupid joke, and he's, like, going off
it
on
it. It turns
him.
On a dime.
Yeah,
real
and
quick.
You never know where you stand with him, really, you know? And then it shows them, like, kind of, you know, in that montage, they kind of start liking each other more and getting used to each other. It really does it ever say how long they're down there?
Mm-mm.
I would assume it's a couple months or
yeah,
so.
I would
maybe
say
something like
right.
that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then, so it kind of, you start thinking like, well, maybe he's just misunderstood. He's just an awkward guy, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's like,
when
no,
the
he's...
When the montage was going around, I was like kind of actively rooting for them. I was like, cool, like, I'm glad we're going to get to see like everybody bonding and like being a little family down there.
Yeah, and then it's like, no, he's,
and then it's
he's
not,
pretty
oh,
fucked
wait,
up.
No, there's some other shit going on. Mm-hmm.
So I liked him in the movie a lot. Like I said, the alien twist at the end wasn't even the issue. I didn't mind that. But the fight scene, I think, is the only part of the movie that I was just like...
That's fair.
Where she fights the alien or where she fights John Goodman?
When she throws the Molotov cocktail up into the alien.
What is the deal with the other girl that John Goodman has killed?
Well, that was somebody he had kidnapped earlier on who was not his daughter like he was pawning her off to be. It was another girl like Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character... who he took in, did weird things, and then dispatched of her body, probably in the bleach or like
the acid.
Yeah.
But so is he completely unhinged through the entire movie? Is he a complete psychopath?
Yes.
He was before the movie started.
Yes. The audience doesn't know it, but his character has been a psychopath the entire time. It's because Emmett kind of budged his way into it that he has to kind of step back and put on this kind of
facade.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, why does he have so many like convenient ways of tying someone up in a dungeon? Basically, like he's got all this shit already. Like, why would he have? Ever, if he thought
if,
he was going to be
wasn't
down there
a
alone,
danger, yeah.
Like,
why would he have all this stuff?
Or yeah, it's like he he gives off little clues that he's
why
not
would he have handcuffs down there? Or like, yeah, exactly.
I mean, I can understand not letting someone go free necessarily at first if you had the means to do it, because it's like you don't know if they're going to wake up and start while she tries to burn the place down. You know, so it's like you don't know how they're going to react to that. So in his mind, maybe, you know, it's like it's a precautionary thing, but also, like you said, why does he even have that shit? Mm-hmm. Why would you have a pair of handcuffs in your nuclear fallout shelter or whatever, you know? If you were expecting it to just be you down there, pretty much.
And, like, I don't know. What is John Goodman's motivation? Like, what is the character's... Like, just to kidnap people and...
Kidnap her, have his way with her several times, and then dispose of her, and then get a new one. Like, the interpretation
but then
I got...
what is the purpose of the actual end of the world? Because he's obviously that's also planning for the end of the world, right?
That's the thing. Well, he's just... Like, that's just what he does. Like, whatever. Like, you could be a prepper, or you could have your hobbies and still be a fucking psychopath or whatever. Like, he was just prepping. He was just prepping, kidnapping
her. You
think
it was just coincidental?
And it was coincidental that the end of the world happened. He didn't know it was happening.
He was
so
on his way back.
He was on his way off the road. Yes. It was already pre-planned, and then the end of the world happened.
Happened by accident.
He just happened to see her at that gas station.
Yeah.
And it's obvious she does.
See, because I never picked up on any of that.
And that's, like, that. I that's why I kind of love that story, because it is just like, what would happen? And, like, it's a little coincidental, but I think that's, it's well explained in the movie.
And that could be another reason why he's so, like, standoffish with what's his name? Emmett. Because it's like he had this whole plan of having this, like, you know, captive in his shelter or whatever. And it's like, well, this guy, maybe he felt some sense of loyalty to Emmett to let him in, because, like, well, he did help me build the place. Maybe there, because he's not a complete, like, he's still likable in some ways, and so he's not a one-dimensional character, so maybe when Emmett shows up, he's like, well, I'll let him in, and if shit gets out of hand, I'll just kill him, because who's going to care?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff left unsaid, but you can kind of infer some of it.
Yeah, it's left unsaid, but it never crosses into the plot hole territory, I don't think.
None of it is necessary to move the plot forward. Like, as far as the plot's concerned, she could just be down there because he felt bad because he accidentally ran her off the road or whatever it was he said. And maybe that is what happened, you know? Like,
we want to believe that.
He tells that story, and it's like, well, I have no way of disproving it, neither does she, for that matter, but he seems like he's probably lying. Mm-hmm. As you find out later, he's not exactly trustworthy, so who the fuck knows? But, you know, none of that is necessary. It's meant to keep you guessing. Yep.
Right. It feels like it's done intentionally, like a Christopher Nolan film would be. Like, it is, we're gonna trust the audience to be smart enough. We're gonna give you this information so you can make your own judgments. But it's not necessarily like we're lazy screenwriters or we don't know what we're doing. This is inept. It is very confident. That's confidence is one thing I really like about this movie. Is the opening is one of the most confident starts to a movie I've ever seen. And it's incredible. Like, this is a first-time filmmaker. Like, this is his first movie, and you can say whatever you want about it. But that opening is so confident and ballsy to be completely silent with only musical cues, showing Michelle leaving her apartment really quick, running, leaving the wedding ring, then getting into the accident. Like, this is like 6 minutes. There's no dialogue. It is all showing, no tell. You get exactly who her character is and exactly what's happening, and you don't have to have, like, people telling you the plot, people telling you what's happening, unlike a Zack Snyder movie. So I kind of appreciate that, and I think there are a lot of visual elements that are very confident and just very strongly done.
The fiance talks, or the husband talks, doesn't he?
There's like an answering voicemail. Machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think another problem with this movie is that, I mean, even up until the aliens, I mean, I feel like I saw every twist coming before it happened. Like, I wasn't surprised at any point in this movie. Like,
yeah,
well, it just felt,
I guess I could kind of see that, just because as much as they were kind of trying to leave you guessing about John Goodman, it's like, well, it is a movie. He's probably going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And try to kill her. What else would happen?
Well, and he does have a lot of giant flip outs over seemingly innocent things.
Once he shoots the guy in the face, I think it's pretty cemented at that point.
By that point, we're at the last crawl. We're in the third act.
Right. So, it's about over.
At the beginning, when she's very innocently flirting with the Emmett character, just trying to get a rise out of John Goodman, and she gets an even bigger rise. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, okay, he's a fucking psycho. What's going to happen here? How are we going to deal with this?
But this is why I just don't understand, because, yes, you see he's a psycho, and so you think he's fucking lying. Like, there's no reason to be down there. And then she tries to go out to the surface. She gets real close, and then you see the lady come in and start banging her head against the glass trying to get in because there's something out there. How did that not subvert your expectations at that point then? Because then the film wants you to think, well, maybe he's not wrong. Maybe, like, he's just a weirdo, but, like, there's something going on out there.
Well, and again, it's because I knew a lot. I you know, again, I probably ruined myself for this movie. Mm. But I knew that there were other things going on beside that. I knew that this lady wasn't wrong, and that I'm not saying that John Goodman isn't wrong, but he's still insane. Like,
yeah. Oh, he's. Yeah.
Well, they were smart by doing that, and then that's basically when they start kind of becoming chummy with each other. Like,
the montage happens after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like, well, maybe he's not... And that was, I think, pretty obviously done to make us also kind of get on board with him. Like, well, maybe he was just trying to help and he just did it in a mm-hmm. really fucking weird way. But he did save her life either yeah. way. Because, you know, even if he purposefully was, like, kidnapping there and then it just happened to be the end of the world or whatever right at that moment, like, she would have still been dead either way. Not that mm-hmm. maybe that's not a better existence down there if she'd have been down there alone with him necessarily. But, you know, so... He did actually save her, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's not that bad a guy. But you find out, of course, that he is a mm-hmm. pretty bad guy. So
yeah.
I also... Oh, sorry. I thought that the entire homemade hazmat suit was really hokey.
See, I
don't know if that would actually work, but at least it was kind of a clever... It was a clever use of skills that she was known
set up
to a degree.
It was very movie magic.
Sure, but
you cannot talk about fucking movie magic-esque in Cloverfield and be fucking okay with Batman versus Superman.
But I'm
where
saying
nothing is set up
in a movie in Batman versus Superman. I'm expected to see two guys beat the shit out of each other in supernatural ways in a movie called 10 Cloverfield Lane, where up until this point I have not seen aliens. Her constructing a magical hazmat suit out of a fucking shower curtain and a 2-liter pop bottle is just a bit. It wants me to be in this world of realism. And then it shows me things like this that
I don't know if it was a world of realism because
it's not.
It, I mean, I didn't know that much about this movie when we mm-hmm. saw it. I just knew that it existed, and like everyone else, I was, you know, they announced it like what, a month mm-hmm. before it came out.
Yeah,
and but I didn't read anything about it. I don't even know if there was that much to read about it. And but I did know that it's a J.J. Abrams thing.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Abrams joint.
Yeah,
but
he took the title from Spike Lee. Yeah, like, yeah. He owns the joints.
Yeah,
it's a
J.J. Abrams joint. It's got the word Cloverfield in the title. I knew they probably weren't necessarily going to be, it wasn't going to be a sequel, but it's like, there'll be something fucking weird about it. And so it's like, and once they started talking about aliens in the movie, like I said, it was like, all right, that's probably
what's
happening.
You knew exactly what was
prepping
you for
what's going to happen. Yeah.
The worms from Mars.
I knew it wasn't just going to be as simple as like a terrorist attack or even a disease, even though it showed that woman with like her face melting or whatever. But it's like, and the only thing left is pretty much aliens, so... You know, you knew kind of where it was going. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, maybe the suit was a little, you know, but at least it explained it because she found that survival.
Within
book.
The universe, it works. But again, I'm just saying personally.
I mean, I don't know
for
if you
me,
can do that or not.
That was one thing that kind of, I was just like, it took me out of it again. I could not fully ever see I couldn't commit to the movie.
Okay.
I was constantly evaluating it from a third, like a disconnected area. So,
yeah.
Again,
well,
it's probably a lot of me doing that.
I honestly do at this point. I do think it was, I think in these movies, you talk about like the big negative thing, like, oh, you saw this coming or that coming. I think if you want to see that coming, you can. If you're not taken with the movie.
Suspension of disbelief is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever, that might be a failing of the movie for you then, but I think you're looking for it at that point. And when it comes to the realism,
that was a big part of it. It was
of
probably
the
me
suit,
looking
like,
for it. Yeah.
Cloverfield isn't realistic. Like the one you love is not realistic.
I would disagree.
They do a lot of fucking things that are hard to believe. A lot of things.
The only thing I remember from that, as far as being like really over the top dumb, I thought was
when they climb on the building from the other
glass
building.
Like, it's like collapsing.
I know.
Oops.
And then
it's holding the other building up.
Magically sucking rebar. They pick her up. She's fine. The whole subway sequence or the train sequence is a subway. Yeah, with all the things and they're fighting them off with sticks.
The parasites. Like,
would not happen. At one point, because I just saw Cloverfield right before 10 Cloverfield Lane, because Laura hadn't seen it and she liked it.
Wow.
She liked both of them. She likes 10 Cloverfield Lane more.
Really?
And I agree.
I disagree
but,
so hard.
Like, there
I
are things in that movie too,
years, so,
like where they're running down a street and just all of a sudden tanks are behind them shooting. It makes no fucking sense why they wouldn't pick up on that before. Like, it's done just for the sake of movie magic and whatever. And I would argue, too, like the original Cloverfield, HUD is a great character. I love HUD. Yeah. HUD is fantastic.
Which one was he?
And
he's the guy holding the camera.
Yeah. Oh, right.
By like T.J. Miller. Like, yeah, the heads-up like display.
That's why he's called HUD.
That's T.J. Miller?
Anyway. Yeah, it's T.J. Miller.
And then Lizzie Kaplan's character, who I can't remember her name right now, but his it's love interest.
Marlene.
Marlene. Those are good characters. Rob and Beth and all these
others. Who cares about that?
They're fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Cloverfield Lane has three fantastic characters, and I think does something amazing with them.
I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but I did not like her in this movie either, man. Like, really? I really liked Emmett, but that was pretty much it for me.
I think you went in not wanting to like this movie.
I disagree. I went in really wanting to like this movie, and I think that's maybe what did me in.
Mm.
I maybe had, and I try not to ever overhype myself because I've been burned a lot by doing it to myself, but I think I did it again with this movie. I overhyped it, and I built it up to be something a lot more than what it was.
See, you need to become more jaded and cynical like the rest
like
of
you.
Us.
Yeah. Especially like you, Nathan. You hate everything.
I don't hate everything. I just don't. I temper my expectations.
You do a lot better than I do. And you know me a lot. I get excited about a lot of crap.
You know, I get excited about stuff still. Like the last Star Wars movie.
I was so fucking hype on that. And that paid off so much more I was hyped for, though.
It's one of the... I can't think of a time exception. In recent memory where that's happened, though, where I really
10 Cloverfield Lane for me, because I went in really really expecting good, and even after you saw it before I did, and you're like, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and I so was like, well, he's in the minority, because like a lot of people
I am in the minority for sure.
So
a lot of people
like,
do like this movie, and that gives me hope.
Yeah,
I like the idea that I hope that they do make this a new Twilight Zone-esque franchise where like, so the next movie in this Cloverfield universe won't be about giant monsters or aliens. Yeah. It'll be something new that's weird and unique. I like that. I hope they do that.
Could you pinpoint what exactly your issue with the movie is? Is it the direction? Is it the script? Is it like, what's the ballpark here?
I really got off. Not got off.
No, but I was there. He did.
I really came.
The alien mouth kind of looked like a vagina.
It did.
A little bit.
But
with teeth.
I think it was a little.
Okay,
bit.
So when she goes through the air duct and
she
restarts the thing, and then she finds the earring with the help, and it turns out that that's the earring of the girl that he's passing off on his daughter. I don't know all of that. I just didn't like, and I was pretty much shut off from that point on.
I didn't get
what
why.
About it.
Kind of a nitpicky thing, I guess, but like, wouldn't he have made it a little more convenient for himself to get to that air pump
that
thing?
Too? Like, if that thing can fail that easily, you're not
like,
going
to
fit.
You
want
to be able to
John
access
Goodman.
That at any moment because you have like an hour to get to it, basically,
and
it's
then
like
you're
the only
die.
Way to it is through this thing. That's
that was
wide.
Dumb. And then
I will say people realistically can be dumb and they can have oversights, and that could have been an oversight.
That is a big oversight. I agree, but here's. No. Again, this is my fault. I was following the alternate reality game for this.
Yeah.
And in the alternate reality game, it's all about John Goodman's character talking about his daughter and wanting to reconnect with her. And then the fact that they, at a point, show what you think is the daughter, and then they circumvent that and show it as just another girl that he's kidnapped. John Goodman's character is all over the place to me. Does he love the daughter? Does he want to rape women?
Daughter. Like,
but there is a
the
daughter
thing.
If you're following the arc. There is a daughter, and he's reaching out to her, but she has died.
Okay, well then that... All right, so if that's canon, which I've not played the ARG, so I don't know. If that's canon, then it's clear he has an obsession with his dead daughter by kidnapping these girls and making them wear the Paris t-shirt and making them be the surrogate daughter.
And live in the bunker room
and
that he was starting to
probably rape them because he's super creepy. And I don't... Why are you saying that's all over the place? Like, that's a pretty dead-on psycho. And, like, motivations seem pretty clear.
I think...
rape fest.
Maybe he's just... you could forget about... Because
so
I didn't
not
even...
had a rape fest in this episode yet.
I don't know anything about the, ARG or whatever.
I call them ARGs, but ARG, Alternate Reality Game.
But even without that, because I'd say 99% of the people that watch this have
not done that.
Yeah, so you can't really...
Again, that's probably overhyping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could just explain it as he's a fucking schizo. You know what I mean? Like, you never know what kind of reaction bipolar, whatever you want to call it. He's just a fucking nutcase, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like I was saying before, you never know what kind of reaction you're going to get out of him. Like, one second he's just laughing along with you, and then a perceived slight...
Happens to
him. And he's wanting to fucking shoot you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or and then
got you in a chokehold or something, you know?
Thank God that coincidentally this chick wore the giant earrings into the bunker that she was also photographed in her high school picture of, with these giant gaudy earrings. And then she also, how did she just leave one that Mary Elizabeth Weinstein's characters just picked right up on? Maybe it's a girlfriend.
How
but
do you know it was her high school photo? How do you know what, John Goodman didn't take it?
That's what
it didn't say anything about high school.
That's what Emmett said, though. But Emmett said, oh, but he doesn't know any. Yeah.
He says, I went to high school with that girl. And then.
But it looks like a high school.
It looks like a high school photo, but you don't know that.
I mean, I can't say for sure.
Like,
but
he could have just taken it down in the bunker with that earring, so that makes sense. Like, he went to the high school with the daughter, who is not that girl in the picture, so those are two completely unrelated facts.
Very possibly. I will not give, but if you're going that length to describe it, sure, I'll give you that.
No, I think the movie explicitly states that.
I thought it, I implied that it was a high school photo of her.
I think it could
be,
but
you were reading into that.
I don't think it's crazy to assume that, like, a high school girl who has, like, a favorite pair of earrings mm-hmm.
would wear the same pair all the time, too.
It's not crazy to think she'd
have
them. I'm
not a female. I don't know.
That's one of those things, like...
I used to be a female. And you only have one pair of earrings.
F to M right here, ladies and gentlemen. I wear the same fucking belt every day, though. I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it.
And earrings are just like even if she had several pairs, maybe that's her favorite one and she just wore them more than the other ones. It's not like a plot hole necessarily.
I'm not saying it's a plot hole. It's just convenient.
Okay, so, but...
It just sounds like a lot of nitpicks.
And it probably is. I really can't give you a concrete reason why this movie rubbed me the wrong way. I can just tell you that it did, and I left the movie feeling not fulfilled and actually not enjoying it. So
if you weren't into the idea of this, like, I guess what, slow burn of a...
And it's a very slow burn.
Psychological slow burn thriller too. Type thing.
You like The Witch, which is like the
slowest
burn. I think
burn.
It's an even slower burn, yeah.
Yeah, and like it's I definitely... like It Follows, which is also a really slow burn. Yeah, we saw... Did we see it together?
No.
No, but we talked about it.
The Witch, yeah.
Yeah.
It Follows was...
Also a slow burn. Yeah. But I like slow burn movies. Yeah. I don't think that's my problem here.
I know, which is why like it surprised me, because it seems very much akin to those movies. Like, it's that slow burn with some very slight twists and, like, small payoffs, which are things you have liked in the past.
I'm confounded by why. I cannot give you a concrete reason why, but there's just something about it I didn't enjoy. Maybe you're right. Maybe I will revisit it in a few years and things will change. I will probably give it a few years before I do watch it again.
I would too. Yeah, I wouldn't watch it.
I mean, I'm not
going to
watch
you.
It as soon as it comes back on DVD.
No. And I wouldn't recommend that.
But maybe it will. Maybe time will heal all wounds, as they say.
I mean, I like the movie and I probably won't watch it again for a long time.
Yeah,
so.
I don't see a reason.
I will watch it, and right now it's my movie to beat for the year. I guarantee you, if we do a top of the year list, this will be appearing in mine.
Maybe, but maybe I will watch it again if we do another top of the year. But I wouldn't
force you to, because
I think
you're legitimately like,
because you do like this so much more than what I have. Like, maybe knowing what I know and going in again and being able to take myself away from it and watch it like unconnected to it in the way that I originally went into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but again, I think for this year, The Witch is a way better movie.
I think it's a more ambitious movie and it's something very different, but I would not say it's a better movie.
I wish we were doing this episode on The Witch myself, because
I don't know if I could talk about that movie for an hour.
I think I could. I saw it twice.
We could probably go into it for a little bit. I mean, it's up to you guys, but I'd be willing to talk about it a little bit.
Where are we at, Sound Engineer Andy, on time?
I think we could wrap
probably
up.
Probably not.
We'll just wrap up. Maybe when it comes out on DVD, we can do another
I think
episode.
So, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I would like to talk about it, but again, so,
I'd
you
like
know,
to rewatch it again before I talk about it,
You
too.
Obviously say you recommend this movie.
Well, there's an asterisk. Real quick, before we do wrap up, I do want to share like my theater going experience, because there were a bunch of bros, college bros, that were like on the verge of fucking ruining this movie at the beginning.
Same thing that happened to us in The Witch.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But they were completely on board. I don't know if they had ever seen a movie before. They must have been fucking stupid as hell. But like every little twist surprised the fuck out of them. Like, so like somebody would get shot and I would just hear like these fucking idiots in the front row go like, oh my god, what the fuck is happening? What is this? Is this a movie? What? And it's like, it was blowing their mind. So I really enjoyed that. Like, it was, they were close to ruining it and then they turned it around and it just became like an even better movie going experience, just to hear minds being blown about like simple shit.
Yeah, things that you've
like,
seen
come
a million
on,
times.
Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's like I was talking earlier about how I knew it was going to be some weird twist because it's the whole J.J. Abrams thing and whatever. And just from having seen movies, you know, it's like there's going to be something about this. It's not going to Or it's just not going to be anything, and the twist will be that he was actually just full of shit.
I knew they wouldn't. I don't know if that'd be a twist. Of the Cloverfield.
Yeah, exactly. Title. There's got to be some kind of sci-fi-ish, horror-ish type thing to this, or else it wouldn't be. I don't think they would have released it as a Cloverfield movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. You got to keep in mind that, obviously, from your experience, that not everyone is aware of that. You know?
Yeah.
There's people where you can be watching a movie where a twist is. Or telegraphed from like an hour prior to it happening, and you're just like, all right, he's the bad guy, obviously.
Joe Schmo Public is a fucking idiot,
and not even necessarily.
I mean, maybe that's a bold stance, but I'll back you on it. Like, yeah. I think,
well, for many reasons, that one in particular, though, it's like some people just—it's hard to imagine, but like some people don't actually pay that much attention to movies. They'll watch them for fun, and there's nothing really wrong with that.
No.
You know, and
not most people are giant nerds like us that deconstruct fucking.
Yeah, so it's like,
hey, he said that 42 seconds ago.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, this thing in the background, if you know anything about filming, like the thumb, I keep forgetting
the thimble.
Mm-hmm. Keep forgetting the name.
And when she sews him up, too, you know sewing is going to be and a central part of her character.
I didn't necessarily think at that point, like, all right, that's coming back for something. That could just be a background thing. But it's like when you see that she's talking about wanting to be a fashion designer
that
later.
You see, like, you see drawings before she's leaving.
Yeah, you know,
and
she knows how
dummy.
To do that. Like, if you put me in that situation, I wouldn't know how to make that fucking suit. You know what I mean? And most people probably wouldn't, you know, but like combined with the fact that she finds the survival manual, which is another thing of like, all right, I'm becoming more capable, you know, and she's growing from that character who runs from everything to someone who can stand their ground and actually knows how to take care of themselves, you know. So, but most people don't notice that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, wow, she made the suit and now she, you know, that. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just like it's hard to judge a movie on those kind of merits as someone like those guys in the audience who you're just like, well, they don't know that shit. They're not paying attention.
Well,
but they love the movie.
Those kind of people are not running a podcast either.
Right. So,
I mean, 10 minutes of just like, that was crazy, right?
Yeah. Right. And it's like, and those guys obviously enjoyed the movie, you know? So it's like, well,
yeah.
They came out better than me.
So. That's my asterisk is essentially, I would recommend this if you're patient and you can deal with the slow burn, because I can see that turning a lot of people off.
There
and
were times
really
when
it.
I was like, all right, let's get this moving.
Yeah, I can see that turning people off. For me, like...
But I felt that way about The Witch, too. There was times in that where I was like, all right, let's... I don't need somebody getting their head chopped off or something in every 5 minutes in a horror movie or anything, but it's like...
Just some scenes...
Something needs to build this up a little bit. And the times where that was happening were awesome in The Witch.
It's intentional.
I like the other things in The Witch where they were just building those characters and like things weren't happening. But
There was just this
oncoming sense of dread that I knew something was coming where I didn't feel it with 10 Cloverfield Lane. Like I expected it and I knew it was coming, but I didn't dread it coming.
I liked The Witch a lot, but I would flip that with you. I really enjoyed the character moments a lot more in 10 Cloverfield Lane. Aside from the main girl, I can't remember her name right now, in The Witch. I thought she was very well, but like anything
I liked
with
her, and I liked the father a lot.
See, anything with the parents, like there are some good stuff, but like I don't think those characters were as strong or as riveting as in.
But the main character in The Witch, she's fucking great.
She's fantastic, and she is amazing. An actress
so
that's going places.
Yeah,
and I will also say I think Dan Trachtenberg, the director of this movie,
I would like to see what else.
I think he has a future. Like I think it was very. Very, very strong effort what he did here, and a great, very strong female protagonist. I thought she's up there.
I've always liked Mary Elizabeth Winstead. So
me too.
I would like to see what Trachtenberg does after this. I will give him another shot. I think he knows what he's doing, and he does interesting things.
I think so.
Again,
I think the movie's shot very well. At the very least, I think it is competently
it just didn't
shot.
Click with me, and that's
fine.
It's not a harp on the movie. That's the basis of our podcast is that not everything works for everybody. So
I understand. That's you really liked Hateful Eight last year.
Yeah,
the movie did not click with me for some reason.
Enough.
And I don't think it's a bad movie. Like it's
I liked it better than Django.
Shot to hell. Like it's really.
And again, that was another
stuff,
slow burn for the most part. So,
but it just didn't click. So I understand.
Nathan, Hateful Eight or Django?
Oh, is that what we're doing? Oh.
I just, those are the two westerns.
But. So in case it's not clear, I picked Django.
Yeah.
You know, I've only seen The Hateful Eight once. I actually almost rented it last night. It's up on iTunes now. But I've seen Django like 3 times. So I don't know. I guess if I had to choose right this second, I'd probably go Django just because I'm more familiar
with
it.
Fair enough.
But if I, you know, I want
to
watch it.
You might grow to love Hateful Eight too if you see it.
Because I like The Hateful Eight.
I like Django a lot. I like Leo in Django. I think Leo's the best part of Django.
You know,
the Calvin Candy stuff is just fantastic.
I'm typically a, this will sound kind of weird to say, but like, I'm kind of a proponent of like really violent shit in movies.
I'm not a
violent person in life at all, but I love
violence in movies.
There's something cathartic about it.
But and I've heard other people say this about Tarantino's movies where it's like, especially The Hateful Eight, where it's like all this like character build up and like the drama between them and everything, and it has to end in someone getting their balls blown off and like another dude, you know, and I'm not saying it shouldn't have had any violence at the end, but there was so much like right at the end where it's just like was there because he wanted it there.
It felt gratuitous, and it felt like Tarantino trying to live up to Tarantino.
Violence for the sake of violence, for some movies that works. If it's like a sillier kind of action movie.
Or the movie who would watch Violence.
Who would watch Commando?
We should talk about that.
I will.
Fucking love that
movie. We will get into that movie because I love it too.
Oh, good. Okay. We won't pick that then because we need more fights.
Well, a movie like Commando or something, you know, where it's like he hits a dude in the nutsack with an axe, like, and then picks him up, like, you know, and he's like chopping. He throws a buzz saw blade, or what do you call it? Table saw blade. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, it's a table saw blade.
Mm-hmm. He throws it into the dude's head. It's just stupid,
but it's awesome. That's a typical Monday for Arnold.
Or like RoboCop.
But that's Arnold in the shit like that. 80s, man. Well, but RoboCop is completely different from Commando.
I'm just saying, like, gratuitous violence has its place.
It's not only does Murphy need to be shot, he needs to be shot 50 fucking times.
He's get his arm everywhere blown
completely blown. Yeah, exactly. It's just
gratuitous violence definitely has a place, and I'm not I don't oppose that necessarily, but like a movie like The Hateful Eight, it just felt kind of like unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
The violence itself I wasn't offended by it at all, but like the violence itself was just kind of like, okay,
it's much like the last 20 minutes of Cloverfield Lane, where it feels tacked on to appease an audience.
I don't feel it's quite that bad. But
so, all right. So we know where Ryan and I stand on this. Nathan, you will be the outlier. 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Do you recommend it? Yes or no?
I would recommend it.
Okay.
But just know, I mean, if you've listened to this without watching the movie, you're
fucked. You already know
you
everything.
You might as well not even watch it. Yeah. But like,
It might be better because you know what to expect. That's it true might too. Like put you in the
you're
right
going
set of
better
mind.
Than me.
I feel like if you somehow didn't know anything about this, which if it weren't for the fact that it was a Cloverfield movie from JJ or whatever, you know, that production company, I wouldn't have known what was, because nobody knew that it was even being made. Really,
well, it wasn't originally, and that's the other problem I have with it is that it definitely feels like two movies slammed together. Because
it wasn't true.
It wasn't.
It's been confirmed. It's not true.
Really, Valencia.
It was all bad. Yeah, they wanted to do it like all the time, but they wanted to keep it under the radar. Okay. So they lied about some things with the title and like the budget and everything until the end.
I knew that they'd do that thing. I mean, most movies are not shot under the name.
I think the 10 Cloverfield Lane is a damning title.
Yeah,
I like the idea of a Cloverfield being like a new Twilight Zone, but I think it does. It sets up false expectations, and it kind of, I think it will turn a lot of people off because they are expecting something and they're not going to get that. But at the same time, it also worked for them marketing-wise. It made money, and it's getting a lot of people to see a movie that, if it was called just like Bunker or Valencia or something, nobody go see this fucking movie. So I'm glad it's getting seen by people, but at the same time, I think the marketing might be hurting the movie
too. It would have been like one of those movies that comes out on demand, but it plays in like 3 theaters or something.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're
very
never
going to
see it unless you live in like a very specific area of
LA.
Los Angeles or something, you know, and it plays for like 2 weeks max.
Better go see it.
Agreed.
Yeah, and but you can pay $15 to watch it on iTunes or whatever, so it's fine. But like, it would not have, I mean, it was playing when we saw it at the theater over there on 3rd, like the screen that they would get like a new Marvel movie on or something.
Yeah, the biggest
screen. It wasn't in one of the screens in the back that's smaller and the sound's kind of shitty. Like, this was like
there's a 300 people theater as opposed to like the 82 people theater.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's the screen I remember watching the Avengers on. mm-hmm. a few years ago or whatever. So it's like they gave, and it was for some reason, I mean, maybe it was awesome in IMAX. I know it was played on some.
I couldn't see how it was awesome.
I was like, why? I can't imagine this would really matter. On like, it would probably be cool because most movies look pretty
good. That'd be my same complaint with The Hateful Eight, is there was no reason for it to be 70 millimeter either.
Fair enough. Yeah. You could have done that with other things.
The only thing that I would have, any outdoor scenes, as few as there were in that movie, would have looked
fucking
good.
Amazing.
And I've heard that was the thing. Like,
yeah, it's really just like that opening shot. And that's it. Because the only other time you see outside in The Hateful Eight, it's like completely covered in white. So you don't even see the scenery.
There was...
It's the oppressive white. It's racism. Get it? that's literally the subtext in Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
Well, when I saw... I went up to the... I think I talked about this on when we did the Star Wars episode, but I drove up to Indy to watch the IMAX... Was it the Indiana State Museum or whatever?
Yeah.
And there's only one scene in that movie that's actually in 70 millimeter. It's the one where they steal the Millennium Falcon and...
Oh, is that...
Jakku? What is it?
Jakku.
Jakku.
Jakku, not Jango. Oh, like, get out of here. Take a walk. Take a hike.
That's why I fucked that up. I'm high on Jankum right now. But just took a dump, left it in a plastic tub, and got fucked up on the way over.
Fuck yeah.
Is Jankum the stuff that comes from that plastic tub?
Yeah, you never heard of that?
And then you re-smoke it?
No, it's...
You inhale it and sniff it.
Yeah. I'm a little unclear as if it's real or not.
You guys are talking like this is a thing, and now I'm concerned because I was making a joke. This is a thing?
Yeah. It's called...
You poop in a tub and you sniff it?
You poop in a bag.
Well, you're supposed to poop in like some airtight container, I think. And
let it ferment.
Yeah, and then after, I don't know how long it takes, probably a day or so, maybe?
I think it's usually like a week.
Leave it out in the sun, and the fumes...
Then you inhale those. Yeah.
What? I didn't know anything about this.
And I don't know if it's actually true or not. I've heard that it's not. I've heard that it is. It was one of those big, like... moral panic type things in the 90s. Like, everybody's like, oh, this is the new thing your kids are doing.
They were huffing gas. They're local, huffing shit.
Local news reports about it, you know, just, and you can look them up on YouTube. They're hilarious because, like, people.
We will actually link them in the YouTube.
There you go. Good.
Okay.
There's a video you can find that's like some, I want to say maybe it's in Texas or something, but it's a news report just talking about it. It's ridiculous. Like, even if it's true, it might be. I don't know. But who the fuck is actually going to... There's like a small subset of people who will do anything.
Kids aren't lining up
to get it high.
But nobody's... Most people aren't
I'll stick with bath salt.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. Jenkins might actually be safe.
You know, speaking of YouTube
both.
And what we're going to link to it, Ryan, would you please list those beautiful things that you can find us on?
So Kyle's been putting up a lot of videos. You can find them at youtube.com. Just search Experience Grind. We have a channel up there. Subscribe so we can get an actual channel name. We put all of our episodes up there in glorious HD, and Andy, sound engineer Andy, is doing a fantastic job editing.
Those are in 4K 70 millimeter.
Not yet.
Yes. Soon they will be on IMAX screens so you can see our big dumb faces. Just wasted. More wasteful than The Hateful Eight, that 70 millimeter on us. Yeah. Just ridiculous.
This podcast I've heard described as a slow burn.
It is.
That's what a lot of people are saying these
days. This one's not. This one started off with a bang and then it got really serious for like 40 minutes. And then we're talking about Jankum and bath salts now.
Yeah.
And now
I've never heard of Jankum. For real?
I've never heard of Jankum.
He's also never heard of THO.
Well, that's not a thing.
Oh.
Yeah, you know THO.
It's an Indiana thing.
I got it right now. Thinking about my Jankum supply. Shit's got me excited.
Thinking about 9/11. Oh wait, I'm not Zack Snyder.
Oh my god.
So
callback. So remember, please continue.
I remember on 9/11 where I was,
and I had really rock hard tits.
Well, no, I was at home. I had been smoking or huffing my Jankum all morning.
Please,
and I
please
on
finish.
The news to that horrible sight, you know, and America was never the same after that.
I had to pull my fingers out of my butthole.
I was fishing out some more Jankum to marinate, you know, and. My life changed. Everybody's life changed.
Dear God, Ryan, please finish.
I kind of don't want to anymore.
You got to, so we can end this. God.
I hope an employer that I seek at some point in the future
looks at these.
My name. Like, oh, he's on this fucking stupid show. Let's check it out. Let's listen.
Oh,
he's talking about smoking shit and how much you love 9/11 or whatever. Like, I've just fucked myself so bad.
The joke is, your future employer is going to be Warner Brothers, and they're going to give you a Superman movie.
The joke is, I will never be able to get a job.
It all wins.
Yeah.
So.
Find us on Facebook.com.
Yes.
/ Experience Grind. There will not be any posts about Jankum or 9/11. twitch.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle is putting up what was your last video? The last ones I followed were the Resident Evil.
It's still Resident Evil. I'm going to start playing Psychonauts again very soon, and that'll be up there.
So you should stream us playing Resident Evil 5.
I don't have my capture device yet. It's not showed up, but I will.
What have you been capturing on?
Everything else I captured, it's already on the PC.
Oh,
so
you got it. Okay.
I got to have a separate capture device, which has not come in yet.
I forgot that game.
I think that's good.
Yeah. So that's there we go.
The other places can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Like the audience, they can go fuck themselves. We haven't given one of those again for a while.
You say we don't give them in a while, but you do it every week.
Every other week.
You do it every week.
Go fuck yourself, audience. I don't care. I do care. Please stick around. I would like to say, you know, these are recorded a month in advance. I don't know when this will come out compared to what we have in store, but I am very excited about what's coming up next week. I don't want to give too much away, but I think it will be really fucking cool.
Yes.
It's a personal high note for me.
For me too, yeah.
Just in general, so I'm very excited about that.
And I think it'll be a lot of fun as opposed to doing stage falls and wrestling.
Yeah, it's a completely new experience for both of us, but that's the other part of this podcast was getting new life experiences.
I mean, it's like another level of reality.
Yeah, I'm going to be blown away. I hope it's as cool as I'm hyping it up to be. Yeah. So with that, you know, as always, we want to give thanks to sound engineer Andy. He keeps us rolling. He keeps us looking great. You're the best, dude. We love you. As always, again, Nathan, man, thank you so fucking much, dude. I love it when you're on the show.
If you guys want to know anything else about me,
you can find me at jankum.gmail.com.
You can go to google.com, type my name in. I don't think anything will come up, but you can try it.
Yeah,
I love how dry you are.
I love that Nathan, God, so good. As good as you and I are at derailing this podcast, fucking just get Nathan on the show and the entire thing's off the rails every time he opens his mouth. It's amazing. I love it. It's the best.
So if anything does come up on Google,
please let him know.
Because I haven't seen it.
And so, if you know, if you got anything special request that you want us to talk about with Nathan, hit us up. Send them to us, please. And we're going to go ahead and stop now. And we're going to just let this die. So,
rightfully so.
Thank you guys, as always. We love you.
This episode will probably never be released.
No, it's never coming out. But if it does, thank you guys. You're the best. I'm sorry that you listened to all of this.
It's never coming, just like Zack Snyder and his 9/11 masturbation. Because he's just so rock hard, always.
He's just dry rubbing.
He's dry rubbing over that point. Shit.
All right, I'm stopping.
It's just blood. Just blood in chunks.
Grind out!
That's what Zack Snyder says when he touches his dick.
Jesus Christ, I stopped!
Looking at the towers coming down.
More like...
Holy fuck, dude.
9/11 as hell!
More like Jack Snyder jacking off, you know what I mean?
Right. Stop it! I'm going